I wanted to talk a little bit about compassion and the compassion practice. And I spoke last night about what compassion is not, that it's not that the opposite of compassion, of course, is cruelty. And an interesting dialogue with someone who was at the talk last night in terms of control as well. I very much see the opposite of compassion as control. And sometimes it's a little bit easier to see in others and then to try to reflect back to yourself. Oftentimes we can see the efforts of others to control us, and we can bristle at that and get upset with that and feel, terrible about that. And you can see it as a lack of compassion when we are experiencing ourselves being controlled. Or we can see it with somebody that we love, with our dear ones or our benefactors. Sometimes you can see someone trying to control them, someone that we care about really deeply. And you can recognize that as a lack of compassion in that moment, the opposite of compassion. And then just see if we can bring this understanding to ourselves as well, to see if we can not so much see the opposite of compassion as cruelty, because maybe we do, maybe we don't. But sometimes that's a somewhat of a strong word, and it seems like it's almost a dramatic kind of incident or something we say or something we do or something like that. But the word control is a little bit different. We can see when we want something so much that we are trying to control someone in order to get it. Or we don't want something so much that we are trying to control that person so that it doesn't happen. So I just offer that to you, this understanding to you to investigate for yourself. With the person who is in distress, when we worked with compassion towards the person in distress, work with the compassion phrases. May I care for your pain? May I care for your sorrow? May I care for this pain? May I care for this sorrow? It's usual that a reaction is going to arise, such as anger or irritation that the person has to experience what they are experiencing. Kind of anger because you don't want them to be in distress, and looking at why they might be and what the causes and conditions might be, and anger arising because of those causes and conditions. And then also, looking at the tendency, at times at least, for pity to arise, where we're separated from that person in distress. There's some sense of separation where you're over there and I'm over here, and because I've done things differently, this could not happen to me. Some sense of being afraid of their pain and a lack of intimacy in it. And so pity being kind of the fallback there. And I think it's a really important and interesting thing to see when it's happening. To look at fear, there can be fear. There's so many different situations where somebody is suffering and people don't want to be around them, or someone has experienced a great loss in their life, and some of their friends stick around through the loss, and other friends are just gone. And oftentimes they're gone not because they don't love the person, but because of awkwardness or because of fear of the person's pain, not knowing what to do, and feeling that one couldn't bear it if one stuck around through the anguish. So fear can be a reaction that occurs. And then grief, how not? How not? Grief, sorrow. Of course, when we are bringing our attention to someone in distress and Sometimes it seems even more difficult than experiencing one's own distress to feel for the distress of someone else. And I think it's really important to work with this. It's important to kind of harness the confidence and trust that is intrinsic in compassion and recognize when we're getting caught in grief, when we're getting overwhelmed by it, when we're getting crushed by it, and not to be afraid of grieving. It is natural to mourn. It is natural to grieve. So not to be afraid of that feeling of deep sorrow, of anguish, of grief. To see if it's possible to offer compassion. May I care for this pain? May I care for this sorrow? Sometimes it's helpful to offer compassion, sometimes metta, you know, and it doesn't really matter. It's just you might want to try out both options because sometimes the metta feels a little bit softer and more expansive and can hold it differently. And sometimes it feels like the compassion exactly touches the spot. You know, it exactly connects with what's necessary. So you can experiment, you can play around with it. But the point is not to ignore the feelings that naturally arise. You know, because of course they are arising, because we're touching something that is painful, that is difficult. And so of course there are going to be human reactions that arise. And the question is, can we pause for a moment and not like go full force trying to send compassion towards someone in distress or ourselves even compassion or benefactors or dear ones or whomever it might be, but pausing and seeing if that in that moment we can care for our own hearts, because that is going to make us braver. You know, that's what's going to make us more courageous and more confident and trusting ourselves more and trusting the Dharma more, trusting the teachings of the Buddha more, trusting nature more, trusting how out of control almost everything is. And yet, there can be compassion. And this can be heartening and inspiring and can keep us going. Keep us going. I don't have it at hand to read to you, but the Buddha has this one, not the Buddha, the Dalai Lama has this wonderful, wonderful little poem. Maybe I'll try to find it for tomorrow. That just begins with never give up. You know, never give up. And what does that mean, never give up? It means with whatever situation and whatever heartache in ourselves, in our dear ones, in those who are in distress that we don't know, but we want to very much extend our hearts to all beings in this world, ultimately, not to give up, but to see if we can encourage a greater degree of compassion. And I'll remind you that, and I know this sometimes feels really strange, but I'll remind you that the Buddha defined compassion as a pleasant sense of care. You know, that's really interesting. And I think what he meant by that is the kind of confidence and trust that we discover in our willingness to face pain, but not fall into it, not lose ourselves in it, not be drowning in all of the pain and all of the sorrows that we come into contact with, but instead the confidence, the strength that comes about through caring, being compassionate. So I wanted to talk about the difficult I brought that up kind of right towards the end of our sitting and asked you to choose someone either neutral or difficult. And I just want to say a few words about it because I hear, I mean, it's always been so that the difficult is the difficult, and difficult people are difficult, and this and that. And I'll just begin this conversation by saying that I passed a church some time ago before I was in quarantine, and this church, this particular church that I pass somewhat frequently, has different pithy sayings on it, and I always enjoy the pithiness of what's said right outside of the church. But what was said this time was, love thy neighbor, yup, even that one. I thought it was really great. Even that one, whomever that one might be for you, if this kind of reminds you of anyone. I thought it was really, really kind of to the point. And it made me think about a passage in the Buddhist time where, maybe some of you know this passage, and I don't have it at hand, but it's a passage, it's a really extreme passage about the Buddha being set upon by bad guys and being hacked from limb to limb. And what's being said, you know, and as I say, it's quite an extreme example, but the Buddha sustaining loving kindness throughout this time when he was actually being hacked from limb to limb. And so you read this and you think, you know, really, could I ever do that? Could I sustain compassion? Could I sustain loving kindness were that so for me? But the point, I think, of this passage is not how extreme it is. I think that the point of this this passage is to point out that what the Buddha is saying is not impossible for us to do. And also saying is, if we think we have an excuse to hate, if we ever think we have a real excuse to hate, we really have not understood these teachings. This is the edge of compassion practice. It's impossible sometimes, it really is. I just was saying that it's not impossible, but sometimes it feels like it is impossible. And yet, we take it on anyway. We gradually, slowly make the impossible possible, moment by moment, drop by drop, breath by breath. You know, just intentionality from moment to moment to moment. We get sidetracked, we get hijacked by the strength of our reactions and emotions and conditioning. We get off course, and then we begin again with the intention of love, with the intention of kindness, with the intention to care, with the intention to be compassionate, regardless of the person, regardless of the situation. I think it's really helpful with particular people to withdraw our attention from the personality, even if the personality is really big and seems to suck up all the air out of the room, to withdraw our attention from the personality and to see if we can see the ignorance, to see if we can see the delusion, to see if we can see the suffering, and at least at times to see if we can see that were the conditions different than they are, this might be me. It requires immense humility to think in this way, but it is a pathway, it is a way in. It is a way into non-abandonment, holding this whole world of beings within our hearts. I think that with ill will, with anger, with fury, with the feeling of being infuriated, we can feel so powerless. And really, metta and compassion are ways to bring the power back, because we are inwardly empowered. We're not dependent on people being a certain way. We will never find peace, and we will never be able to contribute to peace in this world if we are always holding out that people or a person will be the way we want them to be. And we know this, we know this. And we can feel, even though we know it, quite disempowered, quite passive, quite helpless. Metta and compassion are ways to empower yourself. They are ways to move through this suffering world with a sense of inner strength and inner courage. And actually, the inner peace that compassion offers us as well. Please don't be angry with your anger. Please don't be infuriated with your fury. Please don't condemn the natural reactions that arise in the face of injustice and seeing people hurt, seeing oneself hurt. Please do not judge that anger. It's natural. And at the same time, not to indulge. And one has to see the particular ways that one may indulge. You know, you have to be really honest about your ways of indulging, because it might not be somebody else's ways of indulging, the way of indulging. You know, sometimes watching the news these days, there's a way of indulging. It brings up a very strong sense of the injustice and of the anger. But does it help? If you can watch and practice with it, that's great. I mean, I would only take on 10 or so minutes of it, maybe 5, maybe 1. But if you can practice with it, that's a whole nother story. If you can take it up the way you might go to a scary movie and practice by being aware that it's just a movie. I remember my younger sister went to Bambi with her little daughter, and my sister was crying and bawling and really, really, really sad. And her little daughter at a certain point just touched her and said, "Don't you know that it's just a movie, Mom? That Bambi didn't die?" So, you know, it's a way of practicing. But if you can practice with something so challenging and so provocative and so difficult, all power to you. I just wouldn't take it on in too many gulps. I would take it on with modesty. I would take it on with care, continuing to care for your own heart as you expose yourself. It's indulging as well to ruminate on the narrative over and over again. And I know you know that I am not saying to condone the unskillful. We need to rise up and resist in whatever ways are available to us. But we still always need to be compassionate. We always need to be kind. Each step along the way, the cost is way too high if we abandon our humanity and if we abandon what might have at this point in our lives been hard won. We have to keep it going. It's hard won nature. We have to keep it going, come what may. Hell or high water, we have to sustain our intentionality to be kind and to be compassionate, and to not separate out self from other, no matter who the other might be